Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
It's time to wake up, Wisconsin.
Wake me up!
All right, rise and shine, Sleeping Beauty. Come on, hop, hop, hop.
This is the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Wake up, Daddy's home.
Here's your host, Josh Albrecht.
Held at second base. The Brewers are right back in it. Turang, line drive, base hit left center. One runs in. They're going to send Yelich around third. Here's the throw. It's late, and the Brewers have the lead in the seventh. Bryce Turang comes through. Got him. Trevor Megill shuts the door on the Cardinals. A come from behind victory in St. Louis, and they take the opener of this five-game series.
Thank the Lord that the Brewers came back and won that game.
I thought you were going to say soccer's done.
Well, that's why that win from the Brewers was so important last night. Because, boy, did the U.S. soccer team crap the bed. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing, Wisconsin? This is the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call. I'm Josh Albrecht. Alongside with me, Aaron Morse. Hope that you guys are doing well, well-rested this morning. A lot happened yesterday. Like, a lot happened yesterday. I think we talked about it a little bit, Aaron, about the idea of having multiple screens, watching a lot at the same time between the baseball game and the soccer match were going poorly at the same time. Mm. And so it was both of these. It's, can I find a third thing to just watch by itself?
What else is there to do?
Right. What can I find? Like, you know what? Now's a great time to clean the garage. Like, that's essentially what ended up happening yesterday. But we can go through it now in a segment we call, Hey, What Happened?
Hey, what happened?
Well, what happened was the good news first. The Brewers won 4-3 over the Cardinals. It was a frustrating game. Again, in the beginning of the game, getting there. They're down. I want to know, where was your mind at when it was 3-0 in that game? Before Hamilton put two on the board, were you thinking, here we go again, this is just a continuing problem? Or did you still have faith that they were going to turn it around?
I was probably 50-50. My thoughts were just, you can't give teams free runs when your offense is struggling. You know, the sure. error by Bryce Turang gave them their two runs early, and that was really the difference. You know, it's 1-0. You're feeling way more confident that the Brewers can come back. They haven't really been scoring four runs in any of these games lately. It's been 3 and 2 runs, so it's like, all right, 3-0. I don't know. Can they come back? Is the offense, is it even capable of scoring four runs in a game? I know they have recently, but it seems like basically under four has been what they've been doing for the last week or so.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, it was probably bleeding over a little bit from the soccer match and the U.S. just getting embarrassed. But I saw that 3-0 and I went, oh my God. Okay. All right. Like, it's going to be an early night. And then it was, of all people, to get things started, it was Hamilton, who then ends up being the guy that also gets injured in the game. And you just go, okay, of course, like that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to lie, if someone had to get injured, there were worse people on the team to lose, and we don't know for how long. Although Murph did say after the game that he thinks that this could take a little bit of time. So was interested in that. Going forward to just see, boy, what's the next move? You think someone's getting brought up, right? It's not going to just be Ortiz 100% of the time.
Yeah, I don't know what that ends up being, but
I mean, do you think that they use that spot to bring up a pitcher? Do you think that they bring up a person to continue the platoon between Ortiz and player X?
It won't be a pitcher. They get a 27th man as part of the doubleheader today.
Okay.
So they'll bring up a pitcher to be that's probably going to be Gasser, but they'll bring up a pitcher to pitch tonight. And I think, you know, it's between two guys for me. It's between Jet Williams and Eddie's Leonard are the two infielders in AAA. However, they're not on a 40-man. They're not on the 40-man, so they need a 40-man spot. Well, how do you create a 40-man spot? You either DFA someone,
mm-hmm.
which the Brewers tend not to like to do, or you move someone to the 60-day IL because that takes them off the 40-man. All right, who are 60-day IL candidates? One of them might be Brandon Lockridge because he's coming up on 60 days here and it might be another couple weeks. Or
sure.
Brandon Woodruff.
Right, Woody's the big name.
And maybe right. you just give him 60 days off until the middle of September and then you see what happens at that time. So there's a couple moves they can make, but they have to probably add someone to the 40-man because they don't really have anyone in AAA that plays infield on their 40-man.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily that anyone is against the idea of Woody going on the 60-day at this point. I think that everyone is coming to terms with the fact that if Woodruff is pitching again this season, it's late and we're all okay with it. I think we hate that that's the case, but I think we're all coming to terms with it. It helps when you have nights like Drowin had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, again, I think we all are saying, if we're saying a guy that's going back in the pen, like Drowin's one of them, if, you know, when we talked about, you know, Henderson coming back and, you know, waiting for that. And, well, what's going to be this? I guess this was also technically before the Woodruff injury. But we were thinking about, all right, who's going to be going back to the pen? Are we still at that point between, like, him and Sproat saying, yeah, Drone's the guy?
I've never been on the conversation of Sproat being anyone I trust. I was on a different station at this time when they made the trade, but I was the most excited about Shane Drowin in that trade with the Red Sox. I was not really a Kyle Harrison guy. I still don't know if I'm a Kyle Harrison guy. This dates back to when he was getting hype as a top 100 prospect with the Giants. But I was really intrigued about Shane Drowin. I didn't know if he was going to be this good. I mean, sub-3 ERA. He's been fantastic. But I was very excited about his profile and his makeup. I thought he would be an absolute steal, and so far he has been.
Yeah, he has been. I just was not seeing him being in this role. Like, him being a part of the starting rotation at the beginning of the season, like, literally, even now, right? Until last night, I still kind of looked at him like he's a hold-me-over guy. He's pitching well. He's been elite. But he's a guy that is starting because they need a starter. He's not a guy that you're going, well, yeah, this guy could be a starter for any team. On paper, with the numbers, absolutely. It's just that's not why we brought him in. That wasn't what his role was. He was in the pen, and we needed help in the pen. Now I'm going, don't send him back to the pen. What, keep him in the rotation. I don't remember the last time that I was like legitimately frustrated with a start from Drowin. And again, pitched well last night. We were just hoping, praying that the bats would come alive, and they finally did again late in the game. But man, this runners in scoring position problem is going to continue to be a problem for the Brewers. It just does not seem to be where we can get to a starting pitcher. We're constantly waiting to get to the pen before we can start driving runs in.
To your point on Shane Drowin, he has really only had probably two bad starts, I guess, if you want to qualify them as that. One was his MLB debut at Boston, that first start he made where he gave up three runs in the first three innings. Otherwise, a couple of weeks ago against the Phillies, he went 5 innings, 8 hits, 4 earned. Otherwise, he hasn't. mean, we're talking in Colorado, he went 6 1/3, 3 earned. That's the most earned run he's given up outside of those other two, and that's considered a quality start. So Shane Drouin has been really, really good.
Yeah. Now, talk to me, though, about what we're doing with this offense.
I don't know.
that's what I'm
acquiring
saying.
Acquiring 7 bats, you know?
Right. It's unrealistic to think that a trade solves this issue.
It's probably multiple trades. And I think probably that was the case all season long. I still think they can get better than what they have in right field, even though that player is Sal Frelick has been better here over the last month plus. Like, he's actually been pretty good.
Yeah, but the summer of Sal.
Are we going to do this whole game again? I mean, we're talking about all year long about how you have to look towards the playoffs and Dodgers, 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 Dodgers. Can you beat the Dodgers? How do you beat the Dodgers? You got to get better. You got to do better than what you did last year. Okay, are we going to fall for the Sal Frelick thing again? I know he hit the big home run a couple years ago, but you know what I mean. Like, are we gonna trust Sal Frelick isn't gonna hit 175 with an average exit velocity of 35 miles per hour in the playoffs?
I mean, I think the bigger issue is that if you're worried about the Dodgers and seeing the recipe for success offensively for this team being scoring in the late innings because you got to the bullpen, well, it's a lot harder to get to the bullpen if you're not putting up any runs on the starter. Yeah. The starter can give up 7 hits. If you're not getting anybody home, it doesn't matter. They're still going to go and 7 innings.
Sal Frelick's like the third on the list. Like, you still need to find a shortstop and a third baseman. Like, the left side of your infield is essentially non-existent 90% of your games. Otherwise, you're kind of sitting okay. You probably need better from your designated hitter right now.
Yeah,
there's like 4 spots right now who they could probably be like, yeah, we can improve you at the trade deadline. Now, there's a definite pecking order. Like, Yelich is probably 4th on that on that list, but they got to find probably multiple bats at this point if they want to legitimately compete with the Dodgers, and probably an arm or two as well.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, like, they're probably 4 players away from being, like, in a conversation to win an NLCS. Like, the team last year was swept. They're a little better than that, but if you want to, you know, have a legit chance to win that series, they're probably like 4 players away. And that's not really, it's really not their fault because they're a really, really good team. It's more of the Dodgers' fault. And just the Dodgers have everyone.
And yet the Brewers won.
Yep, and they won.
That's the big thing, is that through these frustrations, they still are finding ways to win. And Turang talked about that after the game. He said, we're just going to do whatever it takes to win the game. Soccer. The U.S. soccer team did not do whatever it takes to win.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, they lost 4-1 to Belgium. All the hype. Mm. All the hype of having Flo Balogun back and the red card being suspended. And, I even heard on 9 to Noon, Brandon talking with Rami about how, you know, now this at the Potawatomi Sportsbook, how now they're favored and all these other things. And it just seemed like anyone who finally said, all right, I'm buying into the hype, I'm jumping on the bandwagon, I'm going to watch some soccer, it was the worst time to do so.
Well, I think they're not better than Belgium anyways. I think without Flo Balogun, they would have had, I mean, they really didn't have a chance because they just didn't play well at all, not 1% well last night. But in a normal day's game, they probably didn't really have a chance without Balogun. That's why I think it was so important to get him back. But they probably only had a 30 to 40% chance, probably about 35% chance-ish to win with Flo Balogun if they were playing. Like, Belgium's a good team. They're number 9 in the entire world. So it's not like if they would have lost this game 2-1, it would have been a disappointment because they're better than Belgium. They're not. I mean, they're still a 15th best team in the world. Like, there's definitely some flaws here, but this was the best they had looked in quite some time. And then it all just disappeared last night. That was about as bad as they could have possibly played. other than the Tillman goal on the free kick, I'm not sure they really did anything well. And that is crazy because they had played really well in their previous four games.
So what was like the biggest part? Because I didn't watch a lot of the the group play. Essentially, I just saw the highlights. What was the big difference, big thing that was missing?
Last night,
yeah,
they played soft. They played scared. They played like they didn't belong. I mean, you could see just in the first 5 minutes of the game, you could see that a goal was coming. It took 1 minute for Belgium to have two outstanding chances. And if you follow soccer or understand soccer, can feel soccer, like you can just kind of feel when a team has that edge, and did not have a good feeling that first 5 minutes. And then 8-9 minutes in, they scored that goal, and that was really just the U.S. It was being soft. It was being scared, tentative. Ball was popped up in the air, and three guys are standing right there. They let it hit the ground. Belgium takes advantage. That was basically what happened the entire game. I don't know why they were so scared, because it's not like they couldn't have beat Belgium. Belgium isn't a supreme powerhouse. They weren't unbeatable. So I don't know why they were so scared, why they were so tentative, so soft. Not a good look for when everyone in this country is looking to them now, like, right? They've been playing
soccer
so well, and then you pull the carpet out and you show that. That was like old you, like, yeah, of course. But it's nothing new. This is what's happened for years and years now.
The big thing is for me was it wasn't just that they lost. It was how they lost.
Yeah.
Right? You can't even walk away from that and going, listen, lot to build from here. Very promising. You know, the U.S. made some noise against a top 10 team in Belgium, and this is an opportunity for everyone to see how far the U.S. has come. This was the third goal that Belgium scored.
Richards beaten out of the air. Freeze has got to get there and deal with it. He takes it down off the chest. Cantillara knocks it away. Tim Ream can't block it. And unless video review says this is a foul from behind on Ream, it is a disastrous third goal to concede to Belgium.
But here's why I'm saying, and I'm not saying this is the reason for the goal, but if you're hurt, go down. You make the sub. The ref stops the play. You're playing a man light, essentially, because you're limping around out there. But this just is, it's a mistake in the back. It's a long ball over the top. Freeze takes the first touch calmly. Then he gets head just to play out of it. As you'll see, long ball, route one. It's been pretty consistent for Belgium, but you're in a good spot here. Put it out. Takes a touch, hesitates on the left foot, doesn't want to hit it. And then Reams trying to backtrack, do what he can to block the goal. Just an absolute disaster for the United States.
I mean, yep, that goal to me, like, I didn't even care about the fourth. Like that was the game. That was the nail.
Yeah. No, it was the game. That was it. Then that play, that goal sums up the entire way the U.S. played, basically the entire game. I think if you're not a soccer fan and you were kind of tuning in and you were trying to understand what was going on, take that goal. And push it across the entire game, and that's how poorly they played compared to how well they had been playing for the last 2 to 3 weeks.
It did allow for the internet and social media to start creating memes and things of that nature. My favorite one that I saw was, the best tweet I saw about it was, my wife says, why are you so mad? You don't even like soccer. I say, I don't like war either, but we pull for the U.S. when they're in one, don't we? That's great. Yeah, that's a perfect way to sum up. Mm-hmm. I'm mad about this. There was more happening.
Hey, what happened?
We talked about, when is Giannis dropping his boilerplate Instagram post saying goodbye to Milwaukee? A lot of people getting more and more upset. I can't believe we haven't seen it yet. Turns out he didn't do an Instagram post. He did a full video. So first he shared on all of his social media, a 2-minute video, a little compilation of sorts, thanking his fans with one answer from a whole interview he did, like a 35-minute interview he did with the great Jim Paschke, Mr. Jim, as he called him. And we're going to talk about that in detail in How'd You Sleep? Because that was a, I think, a completely different way of saying goodbye that I don't know that a lot of people realize that, yeah, that doesn't happen.
Well, probably people should have just waited until the trade was official or people could say something to get upset about how there's no
of course.
Post. I mean, like,
well, and
you think, yeah. You really think Giannis would just dip
and do nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like, that was ridiculous. But yes, I mean, it was thoughtful from Giannis to put out a 36 plus minute video and a video on Twitter saying goodbye as well. Like, he did the right thing, and I never expected anything different.
I expected the boilerplate and maybe a compilation video that someone else put together that then he like retweets.
Yeah.
This was obviously stuff that he...
You thought it'd be like what the Bucks put out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the Bucks put out a lot of nice stuff about Giannis, talking about his legacy and what he's meant to Milwaukee. It also, obviously, all of this they've been sitting on, right? Mm-hmm. Both sides.
Yeah.
We're sitting on. It's not like that interview with Jim was done a couple of days ago, right? Like, that was done a while ago.
I wonder how long ago. You know, was that done before the trade, or was it just after the trade was reported?
I would think that it was done right after the trade was reported.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he said at the beginning of it, that he always said if he was ever traded,
yeah,
he would want to do a sit-down interview talking about it, and he wanted to be with Jim Paschke. So I feel like the second that he knew that was happening, that's when he called and said, we're here, let's do it. But we're gonna play some clips from that in case you didn't see it. Dive into that a little bit more on the other side when we get back on the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call. We're live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Baseball coverage on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Welcome back, everyone, to the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call. I'm Josh Albrecht, Aaron Morse alongside on the other side of the glass. If this is your first time tuning in, stay with us until 9 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we're going to have the Zabe, the Steve Zabin Show with Josh Albrecht. We'll take over from there. For now, we want to know, how'd you sleep? Let us know on the Nicolet Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. We'll tell you how we slept in a little bit, but let's get to some of your text react from the first segment. The 920 says, 4 players away, Aaron? You think we're 4 players away? Yeah, I don't probably. Even know if they think more or less.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they think less. I think that would be silly if they think it's less. I mean, really? You think less than 4?
I think it's
very easy. You could say shortstop, third base, and a reliever. That's 3 right there. I mean, okay, fine. It's 3. I would like a 4th player to compete with the Dodgers. Again, they got humiliatingly swept last year in the NLCS. They didn't have a single chance last year to win that series.
True. The 310 said, that World Cup game sucked. I will not watch another game till the next World Cup. Set USA Soccer back. Listen, you probably weren't going to anyway.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it did... I do think it probably moved soccer forward a little bit.
Having
it here and having them play well for a good amount of time. And the only way that soccer is going to get better is if people start or stop acting like soccer is this pariah.
Yeah, I think it's just it's an uphill battle.
We have plenty of athletes.
Yeah, but it's an uphill battle for the average sports watcher.
Okay, how about
turn
this?
Their attention fully to soccer. It's the same with hockey.
How about this? If you were at a big high school or a big city in this state or where a lot of kids go, how about instead of being the 7th string wide receiver, you try playing soccer?
Well, sure. But again, that's on like a high school level.
Right. But if, okay, fine. How about at a younger age? How about continue having your kids play soccer instead of stopping them play soccer to do something else? Because who knows?
But
maybe
the parents,
they're really, really
are the
good.
Parents doing that? Or is it the kids going,
no, I think
hey, I'm pretty athletic. I want to do the things that are cool and that, get the girls and that I could be turned into a profession someday.
I didn't really, I mean, I did get a say, but I didn't really get a say in what sports I played growing up. Like, I
was, that's an interesting topic.
I wanted to play sports, but my parents had me in soccer, flag football, basketball and baseball and tennis. And like, I played all the sports. I did them all. Yeah. Swimming. I did swimming until I was 10 or 11. On a swim team.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Until you were 10, 11. Not when you were in high school.
That was the one that I got to say that I didn't want to do anymore. My mom gave me the option, like, if I didn't want to do that, and I decided not to do it anymore.
That's an interesting question I want to maybe explore tomorrow. All right, Annie said, and love Annie, she said, I was so excited to watch the USA soccer last night, and that lasted about 10 minutes, and then the Brewers got all my attention for the rest of the night. I am not a soccer person, and now this explains why. A lot of people feel the same way as you are, Annie, this morning. We want to know, how'd you sleep? Did you sleep okay? Did you sleep good because the Brewers won? Did you sleep poorly because the U.S. soccer team lost? Did you sleep okay like I did because I kind of tuned out both for the majority of the games and started watching a 36-minute unplanned, did not have it on my calendar interview between Jim Paschke and Giannis? Giannis essentially going through, and he set this up. He wanted this. Right, this wasn't a Bucks mandated thing. This was, Giannis said on my way out, this was shared on Giannis's profiles, Giannis's YouTube, right? And he went through and it felt like to me, Aaron, like he was going through his feelings. And Jim was being that comfort for him while also still asking questions, right? And so I kind of thought, I was proud of Jim Paschke. I mean, obviously, he's fantastic, you know, a treasure for sure. But he still asked some questions of him that I think we all kind of wanted. He pushed the envelope. Yeah. It wasn't just him sitting there and going, they're there.
He asked them in non-threatening ways or he asked big questions without making them seem like they were a big question. He was like, oh, you know, he just kind of did it in his little way of like, yeah, but, you know, and then Giannis went off. Yeah.
Would take it.
Yeah.
One of the biggest and the first one I want to play is
a non-media member way of asking it, I think.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
He talked about being scared of change. This is what Giannis said.
Always be yours.
I'm scared.
About?
I'm scared of change. I'm scared that the grass is not always greener. I'm scared of, like, I have things. People love me here. People respect me here. People allow me to be myself here in the city. And I'm scared that I might never find that ever again.
I mean, hearing that from an athlete, a superstar athlete, to me, should paint a bigger picture to everyone that's mad at Giannis. One way or another, you're looking at him and you're seeing he's vulnerable. He says more than he should. And he goes with his heart, not his brain. Right? Like saying something like that, if I'm a Miami Heat fan, I don't know that I'm loving that video this morning. Right? I don't know that I'm loving going, okay, so did he not want to be here? Like we traded a lot for this guy, right? If you truly take yourself out of the Milwaukee Bucks shoes and you put on the Miami Heat shoes, I think you're seeing that video and you're going, what did we just trade for? We in Milwaukee go, yeah, that's Giannis. That's what Giannis has been. So many people want to focus on the, he's a liar, he's a traitor, he's, you know, all the things that they say when your superstar leaves your city. But I looked at this and it kind of solidified for me, especially that answer, everything that I thought and felt after the Jimmy O article came out of everyone was at fault. But I think more than anything, we just had a superstar that was vulnerable and a little dumb. A little
naive.
A little like, hey, I'm thinking with my heart here, maybe I shouldn't have. I went to the front office and I wanted them to do this because I didn't know any better to think maybe that's not the right move. And then it bit me in the butt. And now I woke up every day thinking, I got to go win another championship. I want another championship. But maybe I'm going to regret that. I don't know.
I think it's the opposite. Like, flip him. I think he was thinking with his brain and not his heart. Like, if he was thinking with his heart, he would have stayed in Milwaukee forever. But his brain is telling him, all right, I need to go elsewhere to challenge myself and win a title. That's how I take that. Because, I mean, he said at the end, I don't know if I'll ever get that again. The love and support and the way he was treated here, which to me is like, well, tough luck, buddy. Like, well, you chose that. Well, so,
exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, that was his brain.
He did, sure. But it was a naive choice. Right?
Yeah,
like that
right.
That's what I'm trying to say here is that I feel like in a lot of situations, an athlete has had opportunities from a young age when you know that person's going to be something. You have a lot of opportunities to make those decisions.
I hope
where you're playing with an AAU team, what you're doing here, you can be more picky with your college selection. Even when you go from college to pro, you have all of those decisions and all these people constantly in your face telling you what to do, doing these things. Giannis didn't have that. Giannis was just going off of emotion. And I think that he himself was battling, and he did talk about it more, about he learned the business side of it. He was more naive when he first got here. And then as he went along, he started learning the business side of basketball. And I think when he said that, he meant the way that every other superstar is in the NBA. And that was what changed. Is that he started learning what the process actually is. The thing that other NBA superstars knew.
Yeah,
and it created this, I don't know if I'm making the right decision. To me, that definitely felt like, I don't know if I'm making the right decision here. I'm scared. I want to have my friend, Mr. Jim, here to comfort me. And a video of me saying goodbye. Regardless of if you think that it was the right decision, I'm just saying, reading the room, that's what I saw in that man.
Multiple times in that, Jim Paschke said, well, Giannis, I tell people, you haven't changed. And Giannis is like, yeah, I haven't changed, you know. But what you just said there says to me, yeah, he has.
Yeah, well,
because 10 years ago he would have never made this decision. Him learning the business of the NBA has him now thinking like any other NBA player, and Giannis would have never thought like any other NBA player 10, 9, 8, 7, even 6 years ago. He probably would not have thought that way, and now he is thinking that way, which means yeah, you have changed.
Yeah.
So stop telling us that you didn't.
Right. You're not wrong about that. It's how has he changed, and is he admitting it to himself? I think the answer is no. He's not admitting it to himself.
He's admitting it, but he's not processing, I think. Because like he's
correct.
Saying like, yeah, I now realize the business side, but he is not processing to himself that is changing.
Correct.
Because half a decade ago, he would have not thought like this or acted like this.
What about this one that Giannis said about coming back to the Bucks someday?
I would say that you could always come home.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You've earned that. You'll always be welcomed here.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome if I can go and play and maybe come back. Kevin Garnett did the same thing. I saw this clip of him walking into the arena, and they gave him a standing ovation, and people till this day love him. And you know, some people don't always.
They always will.
Yeah.
You've earned that.
Yeah.
They won't take that away from you.
See, and right there, you could hear it. He's not sure. He's not sure. Jim Paschke comes in, literally interrupts him to say, get that doubt out of your mind. Milwaukee will always be your home. We'll always love you. He saw the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
He's aware of what people are saying about him, how people are feeling about him.
Welcome to the business. Welcome to the NBA superstar life.
Do you think
you chose it
that if things don't work out in Miami, that like the Bucks fan base would be willing to take him back
on the team,
bring him back as a player on the team in some shape or form, have him have like one final run. Obviously, not as like the leader of the team.
Probably one final run, but I'm not sure they would.
But would they, or would they say no? Stay out of my city, traitor.
I think if it was like let's equate this to what LeBron's going through right now, or has throughout his career. Like, he went back to Cleveland, right? He was in Cleveland, then he went back to Cleveland after a few years in Miami. And now there's thoughts that he might go back to Cleveland for potentially his final year, maybe final two.
Maybe.
It just depends how long he wants to play. So Giannis, okay. I think people would take back Giannis if he was at LeBron's stage now, not if he was at LeBron's stage when he went back to Cleveland for that second stint. So like in 4 years from now, or 3 years from whatever it is, 4 years, I'm not sure Bucks fans or the Bucks would be like, yeah, Giannis, come on back. We want you on for another 3-4 years. I think it would probably wait until he's like 38 and he was looking to retire and he's got 1 year left.
Which he said 37, 38 is when he would be looking to hang it up. Very, very interesting stuff. We're going to talk with Rami Makhlouf of 9 to Noon when he joins the program. We had Tim Allen on yesterday in the 7 o'clock hour. He got 9 points in case people lost that in our Around the Horn section of the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call that we're doing every day. Rami Makhlouf will be on. We'll talk to him about that and a lot more coming up. But on the other side, it's the most electrifying sound of the day. I'll give you a clue. It was one of the only electrifying moments that took place yesterday. I'm saying of the day.
Oh, of the day. Okay.
Of the whole day. Specifically in the game it took place. Yeah, okay. It was the only one.
Okay, I gotcha.
That's on the other side. This is the Wisconsin Sports Wake-Up Call, live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
It's time for
the most electrifying
sound of the day.
The most electrifying.
Brought to you by Best Electric. Learn more at bestelect.com. Don't stress. Connect with the best.
Which means the wall can jump. Tillman over the wall. Scores! Malik Tillman! Lightning strikes twice! And the United States has tied the game!
That was Tillman's goal for the U.S. and the only positive thing that happened in their loss yesterday. Call courtesy of John Strong and Fox. And that is the most electrifying sound of the day, brought to you by our friends at Best Electric. Remember, no job is too big or too small for Best Electric. Don't stress. Connect with the best. Call them today or visit bestelect.com. Aaron, so we were watching that in the car at the time of that. We were out to dinner. I was leaving dinner. As we were walking out, I saw the game had started on the TV. I saw 4 seconds of the game, and it was when Belgium scored their first goal. I went, oh, of course. Apparently, I'm not supposed to watch. Then Julie has it up on her phone in the car. As we score, the whole car is going nuts. Even Jordy, who doesn't really care about sports at all, he's going crazy. We're like, oh, gosh, don't scare the baby. But we're like, yeah! Like, we're totally into it. We park. We're not even in the house yet. I pull up my phone, and it's 2-1. And I'm like, I literally said, they're losing. And Julie was like, how? What do you mean they're losing? We just scored. I was like, they just scored sooner. Those 60 seconds, that's what it felt like we had. About 60 seconds in that game of enjoyment and good vibes.
Yeah, it was a sick goal. Those for people, again, tuning in that don't usually tune into soccer. Malik Tillman, now you heard lightning strikes twice. If you watch the Bosnia game, he also had a free kick goal, and you're probably thinking like, oh, you know, pretty normal. Nope, not normal. Free kicks, I mean, they happen more than not, like free kicks happen and guys score on, but not in consecutive games like, you know, what you might see as, it happens every game.
It just so felt like after that moment, like the momentum had swung, okay, now we're here. Let's go. We're at home. Mm-hmm. Everyone losing their mind. And then it's gone in just an instant.
Especially because the first 10, 15 minutes were so bad. and was like, okay, he scores in the 33rd or 34th, whatever it was, minute. It was kind of like, all right, they're reset. Slate clean. It does not matter. The first half hour, that does not matter. No matter how bad they played, they're back. And
nope.
Not really.
To the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line we go, 414-677-1250. Andy in Brookfield said, I slept great knowing that it'll be four more years before I have to hear all this men's soccer hype again. Yeah, a lot of people feeling that way this morning. A lot of thoughts on Giannis as well. 262 saying he's trying to do damage control for quitting on the team and the fans. Again, a lot of people are going to go that route. Different 262 said, Giannis changed when Haslam came on board. I don't know. I feel like it was before that with the getting rid of Bud.
I think it's convenient to blame Haslam.
I think that Haslam still gets blamed, but I don't think that it was Giannis changed because of Haslam.
Right, I agree.
The 262 said, Josh, I don't know if Giannis completely understands the business of NBA basketball as a superstar. The impression I got was this guy thought he was going to be able to get Damian Lillard and they're going to trade and not give up much in return. He sounded shocked when they had to give up Drew to get Dame. Yeah, exactly. That was the biggest takeaway I had from the Jimmy Orr article was just this guy doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. I know that Rami Makhlouf gets it. We're going to talk to him about all of this and more. Someone said if Rami says anything positive about the Cubs, deduct 1 million points. That sounds fair to me. We're going to talk to him when we get back on the Wisconsin Sports Wake Up Call. And we are live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.